Mr. Lieb.
And I think this case has demonstrated how far the IJ or the agency will go in searching ways to find a petitioner not to be credible. And the best example here is the when
it's let me get you a couple of questions before we get there. I'm understanding that Mr. Cao did not challenge the withholding determination from the immigration judge at the BIA level, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we're only looking at asylum.
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. And I understand that your client also says if he didn't meet his burden on asylum, he knows he doesn't meet his burden on asylum if he's not credible, right?
Right, Your Honor.
Okay. With that background, I wanted to make sure I had those down before I got there. So we're really looking at credibility.
Yes, Your Honor. So my argument here is that the agency, the credibility is not supported by substantial evidence. The first reason is that the agency relied upon petitioner's testimony regarding what Lutheran means to him. And the BIA, according to the BIA, the petitioner did not provide a coherent answer to the IJ's inquiry as to what a Lutheran means. But the record shows that petitioner testified, pointed out that when he was asked what is a Lutheran, and he stated on record, because of the faith, so there is righteousness.
So suppose that we agree with you on the theological issues, or not on the theological issues themselves, but on the relevance of the theological issues to the legal questions in this case. What about, that was not the only ground that the IJ identified.
Yes,
and maybe if I could ask you to turn in particular to the discrepancy in his travels to or near Vietnam. So I understand that he told the asylum officer that he went to Vietnam and stayed there for a while. Then at the hearing, he said he just went to the border, which you could maybe sort of explain as not that big of a difference, except that he had told the asylum officer a fairly detailed account of how he went to a remote crossing so that he could get across the border without being inspected. And that seems like a pretty big discrepancy. So why isn't that obvious?
Okay, for several reasons, Your Honor. First, again, the nature of the credible fear interview. Actually, in the interview document, it does contain a caveat, and it states actually in capital letters in bold, the following notes are not a verbatim transcript of this interview. These notes are recorded to assist the interview officers in making a credible fear determination, and it's the supervisory assigned officer in interviewing the determination. There may be areas of the individual's claim that were not recorded, explored, or documented. So these notes are what the assigned officer wrote down, and whether or not it reflects.
Did you ever question the admission of the interview record for the BIA?
No, Your Honor.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, but it's in the record, the caveat.
Now, just a minute. If you don't question the information that's in this interview that he had with the asylum officer, when he told the asylum officer that he'd left Vietnam on two different occasions, he wasn't confused about it. He said that. And the asylum officer repeated what was said in the summary. And again, your client never questioned it. How do we get rid of the inconsistency that's pretty obvious?
Actually, it's not pretty obvious, Your Honor. Actually, on page 450.
Well, I mean, at the hearing, he testified he'd never been to Vietnam.
Yeah. That's what at one part of the interview notes suggests. I print out direct course attention to page 450 of the administrative record. And when assigning officer asked petitioner, could you return to Vietnam and live there legally now? He said, no, I cannot, because actually the question before that, what's your immigration status in Vietnam? I said, I didn't have any legal status. I was just passing the border. So,
but the thing that bothers me the most about it is that now you're questioning what he told the asylum officer. You've never questioned the interview record in front of the underlying court. Your client was under oath. He had an interpreter. He said he understood the interpreter. You wouldn't reschedule the interview to wait for your lawyer. And yet, now you want me to say, guess what? There's no inconsistency.
Okay. Let's just assume that.
I mean, again, substantial evidence review.
Mr. Lee, I guess I take your point that we should be careful in our use of the officer interview notes, but it does seem, this doesn't seem to be a problem of omission that the officer left stuff out. I think the concern with the inconsistency is the level of detail of the officer's notes relative to the later testimony.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, we bring up this issue of the process of the assignment interview, the credible fear interview, is just to point out that, again, this interview process by nature is not that reliable. And so we just ask the limited weight to be given to the assignment officer interview notes. And also, let's just assume there's no denial, there's some confusion about regarding the whether or not the petitioner was actually inside the Vietnamese the Vietnam in or just at the border area. But regardless, that would not reflect, one or the other would not reflect negatively upon his honesty, because he had nothing to gain. But the BIA apparently did not agree, saying that this is material because it will show that if a person wanted to return to the home country, and then they were caught against his credibility of fear. But in this case, this is petitioner was traveling between China and Vietnam. So the two cases that cited by the BIA to show the materialness of this inconsistency in relation to his asylum application, the BIA cited the two cases. There's one is a C.
But to say that there's nothing to be gained is not exactly right, because he's now asking us to say he fears persecution in China. Then we see right in the record, he departs to Vietnam, but he goes back to China. So that kind of operates against him, doesn't it? He went to Vietnam and he didn't do anything about it. And he wasn't scared to go back to China.
No, it doesn't, in this case, it doesn't.
The fact that he didn't tell at the first hearing that he went to Vietnam was a sure cinch. That he didn't want to have that in there, because if he did, it was going to go against him that he didn't fear going back to China, and that testimony wouldn't be comparable to the BIA, wouldn't be helpful to his case. That's why it's important when you say there was no benefit. That why isn't there a benefit?
Because the country that he returned from is Vietnam.
So
because respondent, the petitioner made clear in Vietnam, that's on page 450, when I don't think even now that Christian beliefs is allowed.
But if that's, I guess if that's the case, then there would have been nothing wrong and then no benefit to tell the same story twice, right? To testify to that and to candidly say, but I can't go there anymore. And the reason why I chose not to stay there is because I couldn't practice my religion. So I'm not sure that's helpful that that he acknowledged that Vietnam may not be a place he could resettle or seek asylum, but then said he never went to Vietnam at all the second time.
And because I still doubt whether or not he actually entered Vietnam when he told the asylum officer, because he was just saying, I was just passing the border, so it could be in the border area. So it's on which side?
Sure,
of the
but on substantial evidence review, if you could take two reasons for that was an explanation that he got up to the border and then realized, why would I go to Vietnam? I can't practice my religion there either. Or that he, as he testified to in some detail, crossed the border, entered Vietnam, and then came back and explained to the asylum officer, but not to the immigration judge, why he came back.
That's true. As the interview notes says that because it is not a verbatim transcript of what the petitioner said at the interview, so there might be something lost in the translation. We don't know. So the theory we are advancing now is just don't to put too much weight on this interview notes.
Mr. Lee, could you speak to the documents that the agency relies upon too?
The registry document, house registry document.
Oh, the
and the fine. There's the
and the, fine, yeah. The receipt document.
Oh yes, sir. The registration document, because it says that he has an elementary school level of education, and then he has a high school diploma, and I think that does not count against his credibility, because the household registration itself said that if there's any alteration to the information, any change to the information must be applied before it can be changed. So it's just a lack of.
But that isn't exactly the way it is.
Yes, sir.
Posted up. So he states he possesses only an elementary school education in the document. It has never been changed since he, even though he's applied for a visa to go to Purdue University. Three times, never changed it. The brother's document doesn't say that. The brother's document was changed. And so, and the only response that your client had when quizzed about why do you put that in there, why don't you do something about that inconsistency, he says, well, I've got more education than that, which I don't think explains the inconsistency at all.
It's just a lack of diligence on the petitioner's part just to update the information in the register. So there's no, I don't think there's any discrepancy there, or let alone the discrepancy that reflects negatively upon his character or the honesty.
I understand you're saying you don't dispute that it was inconsistent, but you can't be faulted for it. Well, we have a case named He, not one of the cases we've had here that you've been involved with. That case says that you do have a problem if there's inconsistency and you're challenging a credibility finding. If you admit it's inconsistent, well, then you're in trouble under He.
Yeah, and then you should be given an opportunity to explain. in this case, the explanation
well, he
is that
was given the chance to explain. Well, his explanation is, well, it's all changed.
Yeah, the explanation actually lies in the record, you know, because the hospital register itself says that any alteration should apply for registration at the office. So any change should be one should apply for the change beforehand before the change can be made. So it's just petitioner did not go to the register office to update the information. That's all. And may I just address the on the fine the issue?
Very briefly.
Oh, yeah, just very briefly. And actually, in this case, that's clearly the spelling of the name of the town, hometown. That clearly is a translation error, Your Honor. And respondent petitioner actually was shown the original Chinese version diagnostic certificate. It does say that the name of the town he was from is Jiangjin versus Hongjin.
What about who paid the fine?
Pardon me? Oh, who paid the fine? Yeah, that's clearly, we just look at the record itself, and it says the paying unit or paying party, paying individual. So the petitioner testified that because the fine should be issued to the person who was penalized. Actually, that's exactly what the Chinese version says. So there's I won't say there's a mistranslation. There's an imperfection in the translation. So my point is, if the court rely on that, I will probably deny my client's the petition. I will, because I wasn't an attorney involved at the hearing. I wasn't an attorney involved at the appellate level before the BIA, so probably I would do an ineffective assistance of a counsel, because the Chinese receipt does say that to be delivered to the person who got penalized. That's the literal translation should be.
Thank you. We've taken you past your time, but you may have 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Spurlock.
The petitioner's inconsistent testimony with his asylum interview testimony about his entry and departure from Vietnam, returning to China, is both it's both substantial evidence to support the entire adverse credibility determination and deny the petition for review, because it not only is an inconsistency, it also shows under the Zhi Kui or the Lo Ho case that when an alien returns to their home country when they're claiming to have been experiencing persecution, that alone supports an adverse credibility.
So before we get to that issue, Mr. Spurlock, there's a paragraph in the board's decision devoted to Mr. Cao's, quote, you know, inability to coherently describe the Lutheran faith. Are you defending that portion of the board's reasoning?
Yes, Your Honor. We're defending that that decision because, first of all,
maybe I can start out by what is the government's position on the doctrine of justification by faith?
I think our position is consistent with what the COSA court said in that case, which is, yes, you're not allowed to go through and do a deep quiz or sort of academic investigation of what the person's understanding is of their faith or comparative to other faiths or whatnot like that. But that's not what we have in this case. We just simply have which is also contemplated by the COSA case, that there's nothing wrong with simply saying, tell us about your faith.
Right, and he answered the question. So, I mean, he's asked, you know, what is Lutheran? Which is, you know, that's the judge speaking in English, kind of an unidiomatic way of phrasing the question, but that's what she said. What is Lutheran? What does that mean? He says he doesn't know. There's back and forth with the interpreter asking about writing down the characters, which suggests, you know, some difficulty in understanding the translation. And then he comes up with, because of the faith, so there is righteousness. And so I take it the government's view is that that is not a correct statement of the Lutheran doctrine of justification by faith?
I think what the government's position is that the immigration judge's determination that that was not a coherent answer, first answering, I don't know, and then only providing essentially a two-word answer, was not plausible, that he would only, after spending...
It isn't plausible.
Was he asked to elaborate?
Was he asked to elaborate?
To elaborate. I mean, yeah, it's a short answer.
Yeah, I know he was not.
He was not, okay.
Well, let me correct myself. She did say to him, I think she said, that's it.
That's what Lutheran
means. And he said, that's my understanding.
That's my understanding.
That was the extent of the...
But she didn't say, can you provide more detail on
no,
that?
No, she did not.
Okay. And so, I mean, I'm not sure it matters whether he's, you know, right in some sense about what, you know, Lutheran doctrine is, because I don't think it's our place to say that, and certainly not the board's. But you know, when one looks at, you know, the Augsburg Confession of 1530, which I think most Lutherans regard as sort of a canonical statement of the faith, like what he's saying is a very close paraphrase of parts of that. So it just seems very odd that the board is pronouncing that, you know, an incoherent doctrine. Why is that appropriate for the board to say?
The two words that he said, he wasn't able to give more explanation. I mean,
he wasn't asked to give more explanation.
Right. Well, he could have provided more than two words. And when he said, when she was asked, do you have anything else to say? He said, no, that's my understanding.
It was the government's position that any creed that can be expressed briefly is incoherent?
I think I honestly don't know, Your Honor. I think what the point is that the immigration judge found that his explanation for having spent 2 years going not once a day, but I mean not once a week, but twice a week for 2 years, and supposedly took education classes initially, and moreover, the argument of, well, there may be something to those two words. They may have completely defined the, you know, Lutheranism. It may be correct. He never argued that before the board.
Well, but I think the problem on substantial evidence is that the IJ just doesn't know. So there's nothing in the record here that would suggest, other than the IJ's take on Lutheranism, which isn't substantial evidence. So I guess, again, is the government standing on this as a ground for the evidence?
No, we're not standing on it, Your Honor, because, as I said before, returning to China from Vietnam is ample substantial evidence of adverse credibility. And the court,
why doesn't, you know, if we think that this was improper, this, you know, theological freelancing by the IJ was improper, why doesn't it infect the whole adverse credibility finding? I mean, so I you know, normally under a LOM, we look at, you know, under the totality are the valid grounds sufficient. But, you know, aren't there cases where you have some grounds that are sort of, you know, the 13th chime of the clock that just kind of infects the whole thing?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think under the totality, you can apply the totality of the circumstances in this case.
Do you think, in this case, sure, but do you think there's ever a case where you would have a ground that was so bad that it infected the others?
I suppose it's possible, but I feel...
So just, you know, hypothetically, like if the IJ said, you know, I'm finding you not credible because of, you know, inconsistency number one and inconsistency number two, and three, you're from China and I just don't trust Chinese people. I mean, there we wouldn't go through a LOM and say, well, you know, the first two grounds are okay, so maybe we can uphold this. Wouldn't you say the whole thing just has to be thrown out?
The court can definitely say this particular ground that the immigration judge or the agency put forth as a basis for adverse credibility is very wrong. And unless that's all there is, if there's other, the court would still need to, under the totality of the circumstances, weigh the other.
Even in the hypothetical where the IJ, like, invoked an explicitly racist ground for finding the person not credible. We'd have to uphold that if the rest of what she said was okay.
I think under the totality of the circumstances, you would. You would have to consider...
Well, in COSO, which you've cited, there is some discussion that this adverse credibility assessment, the one arising from the IJ's improper inquiry into the response religion, infected the IJ's entire decision and led the BIA to affirm the IJ's demand for independent corroborative evidence in that point. But, I mean, in this case, the board leads with this religious discussion. So why isn't this the same as COSA?
Well, I think the COSA case was really almost more of a bias case. I think they had found bias against the immigration judge.
How do we know this one isn't?
Because no one ever alleged that there was bias, or at least they did raise bias, I believe, before the board, but then they didn't raise bias before this court. So they abandoned the bias discussion. But I don't even recall.
So bias in terms of a due process claim separately as opposed to substantial evidence?
Yes, and that the immigration judge in, I believe, the COSA case had exhibited such a dislike for the petitioner in that case's religion and her belief system that sort of spilled onto the record and was clear on the record. I think that alone makes this case different from that case. And that immigration judge was going far beyond asking a simple, what is the basis of your, tell me about your faith. What is your faith? And the immigration judge never in this case made any negative comments about Lutheranism or what this...
unless you consider saying that it's incoherent to be a negative comment.
That, as a response to what he said, that it didn't make sense. So,
I'm having a tough time with that argument. I'm sad the government is even making that argument. Because it seems in COSA that they said, without a benchmark other than the IJ's views, it's unacceptable to test the scope of the petitioner's understanding of her religion. And there was no benchmark in this case except the IJ's views. And yet the IJ comes out with this idea. And frankly, looking at what he said, because of the faith, so there is righteousness, I don't think is an out-of-concept statement. Now, I may not be the most religious person in the world. I may not be a good religious person. But that seems pretty significant to me. And then all of a sudden, the IJ, on her own idea, says, well, he doesn't even know what Lutheranism is. When I thought, boy, because of the faith, so there's righteousness, I thought that was pretty good. So I'm just having a tough time with your argument. If I'd have been in your stead, I wouldn't have even gone here. I'd have said, forget this. Let's go back to the things Judge Smith's been quizzing about.
Well,
that's always a good idea. Yeah,
we should stay on those things. I don't think this was a major part of the adverse credibility decision. I think this was essentially, he comes out before the board and essentially says, yeah, but the immigration judge was assuming I was Lutheran, so I would have this knowledge about Lutheranism. But that's not what... Then the board says, yeah, we accept that. This isn't about what he knows about Lutheranism or doesn't know about Lutheranism. Well, it just has to do about what he
exactly
picked up on.
It is. But I guess I'll let you finish your argument. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But I think the board had a good point, which was this isn't about what you believe or what your faith is or what... This is simply about what did you spent 2 years in this institution. You didn't become a Lutheran. You just went to that church. What can you tell us about the church? It wasn't testing his level of knowledge about Lutheranism, about his own faith.
Can we go back to the Vietnam question? So the inconsistency here is premised on the fact that he did in fact enter Vietnam. Is that clear from the record? And where is the government's best site for that?
that he entered Vietnam.
Yeah.
I think it's in the asylum officer notes where he's, I would direct the, there's a lot of discussion of that maybe it could have gone this way or that way, but if you look at page on AR-451, that's where the asylum officer reads a summary of his testimony, and in that summary of the testimony, he again says, I returned to China from Vietnam, which seems pretty clear that he was in Vietnam.
He said it twice, right?
He said it multiple times. And as I said, it was in the summary of what the asylum officer, and that, I say, again, that's on, I think, 451, where there's a summary of what he said. And in that summary, you left China, went to Vietnam, and returned to China, which seems pretty clear.
It appears there are no further questions.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I just want to point out one thing, that actually the church attendance issue, if you want to look at the BIS decision, I think that's the first and the foremost issue on the agency's mind in finding an adverse credibility determination. And the BIA discussed a host of issues, and then the church issue is the very first one that the BIA discussed. And then almost like and then the BIA said the IJ also found, so it appears to me that all the other discussion is just an afterthought.
So I guess the IJ at 9 of the order does raise this first, but then says the biggest issue in this case relates to respondent's trip to Vietnam. And so how much can we read into the priority of the ordering of paragraphs that the board takes? I guess I should say in considering this issue, are you raising any kind of general bias claim that the IJ was biased as opposed to was just incorrect in finding an inconsistency?
I wouldn't go that far. The IJ is biased. It's just that we are looking at the BIA's decision, and the BIA relied. I believe that the church attendance, the response, petitioner's knowledge about the Lutheran is the most important factor that IJ took into account in its decision, and because that. That ground was invalidated, and it appears that it will be invalidated, and then the rest will just collapse.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Lee, you've argued 5 cases this week. The court appreciates your assistance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spurlock, as well, and the case is submitted.